Matthew chapter 14. It's good to be in the house of the Lord tonight, and we've enjoyed the conference, enjoyed all the good preaching, and it's been uplifting, encouraging. And we want you all to pray for us tonight as we preach God's word. Do you know what he means when he said he left it all? I mean, do you really know what it means when he said he left it all for you, for me, the sinners that we were? He came to us, came to where we were, and revealed himself to us. He doesn't do that to everybody. He doesn't do that for everybody. But I know he did it for me. Left every bit of it. We'd like to read a few verses here in chapter 14 of Matthew. Chapter 14, verse 14. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them. And he healed their sick. And when it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, "This is the desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals." But Jesus said unto them, "They need not depart. Give ye them to eat." And they say unto him, "We have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And he said, "Bring them hither to me." And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass, and took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed, and he brake, and he gave the loaves to his disciples, and the disciples to the multitude. And they did all eat, and were filled, and they took up the fragments that remained 12 baskets full. And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men, beside women and children. I'd like for you to turn to another passage in the book of Job, chapter 31. Job, chapter 31. Job, chapter 31, I'll wait till y'all get there. I like to hear those pages ruffling. Job 31. We'd like to begin reading in verse 16. "If I have withheld the poor from their desire, or have caused the eyes of the widow to fail, or have eaten my morsel alone, and the fatherless hath not eaten thereof. For from my youth he was brought up with me as with a father, and I have guided her from my mother's womb. If I have seen any perish for want of clothing, or any poor without covering, if his loins have not blessed me, and if he were not warmed with the fleece of my sheep, if I have lifted up my hand against the fatherless, when I saw my help in the gate, then let mine arm fall from my shoulder blade, and my arm be broken from the bone. For destruction from God was a terror to me, and by reason of his highness I could not endure." We want to preach tonight on the subject, eating our morsel alone. I believe we as Baptists in the past years have been guilty of eating our morsel alone. We, as many of you have heard and know, we went to Peru. My wife and I went to Peru, South America, for 2 weeks. And my life will never be the same. As I returned from that trip, that was one thing that I learned, is that I've been guilty of eating my morsel alone. I believe the Lord expects His churches to evangelize the entire world. I believe He intends for His churches to do that. Can you imagine what that first church thought when the Lord said, "Go into all the world"? Can you imagine? Can you imagine what that little church thought when He said, "Go everywhere, preaching the gospel"? Can you imagine what they thought when He said, "Go and preach the gospel to every creature"? Can you imagine? And the command is still the same today. He is still telling His church to evangelize this whole world. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. They didn't have a car. They didn't have an airplane. They didn't have a radio. They didn't have a telephone. They didn't have air-conditioned buildings. Didn't have TV. But He still told that church to go into all the world and preach the gospel. The only transportation, no doubt, that they had was either by boat or donkey or by foot. Yet the Lord Jesus Christ said, "Go." And they went. They didn't even have a building. So they couldn't use the excuse, "As soon as we get the building paid off, then we'll consider that command." "Yeah, Lord, You just wait. Wait till we get this building paid off. Wait till we get this addition paid off." Huh? Sound familiar? Well, I don't know what's wrong with this preacher's head. I don't know. You know, here he is. We're in a building program, and he wants us to give $2,000 to missions. But can you imagine this church? They didn't have all of the modern conveniences that we have today. And we will come up with excuse after excuse after excuse of not carrying out this command. And we see that they did exactly what the Lord told them to do. They went. And His church still needs to be going today. Are we eating our morsel alone? Just think of the means that we have in getting the gospel out to this world. The luxuries that we have today. We live in a day when we have so many luxuries that we cannot use them all. So the only thing that we can do is discard it and buy something else that we can't use. Huh? Isn't that right? Isn't that what we do? A day when we need a larger house with more bedrooms, more bathrooms. My wife and I, we have 4 bedrooms. Now this is just the two of us. We have 4 bedrooms. We have 3 baths. We have a large living room. We have a dining room. We have a 2-car garage and a full basement. You say, well, I've got that. Most of us do. And we are still eating our morsel alone. We want more. We're never satisfied. We want something bigger. We want something better. Give me, give me, give me, give me, give me. Huh? Honey, you got to get another part-time job. There's no way we can make this $750 house payment. And we live in a day when people are dying without hearing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are thinking about ourselves. We are thinking about our own concerns. We are eating our morsel alone. What do we need that would cause us to get the job finished that the Lord Jesus Christ told His church to do? What do we need? Can you all think of 2 or 3 things that we need to get the job done that the Lord told us to do? You say, yes, Brother Jones, I can think of 1. Money. No. I believe this is the richest nation in the world. It isn't money that we need. Well, Brother Jones, it's men. It's more preachers. No. We have men who are ready to go. No, it's not men. It's not more preachers. You say, well, Brother Jones, it's transportation. No, it's not transportation. We can reach any point in this earth within a matter of a few hours, and we can be there. We left Detroit, Michigan, and 7 hours later, we were landing in Iquitos, Peru. 7 hours. No, it's not transportation. It's not more preachers. It's not more money. Why haven't we finished this task? We have all the things that we have just mentioned. What else do we need? I want to suggest tonight a few things that we need to get this task done that the Lord told us to do. When He told us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I believe one of the first things that we need tonight is eyes in the heart. Do y'all understand what I'm saying? If you don't, buy a ticket to go to Iquitos, Peru, and you'll find out. We need eyes in the heart. We can't see very much with our physical eyes. We've been looking too much out of our physical eyes.
Our vision is too limited. I went over those mountains, up the Amazon River, into those Indian villages, and for the first time in my life and in my ministry, I saw with my heart. We need eyes tonight to see the regions beyond. We need eyes, first of all, that can see God. In the 14th verse of our text, Jesus saw a great multitude. But before our eyes or our vision will reach the multitudes, we must first see God. We must, as Moses did, get a glimpse of His glory. We need to see Him as Isaiah saw Him, high and lifted up. We need to see Him tonight in all of His holiness. We need to see Him in all of His righteousness. We need to see Him tonight with all of His power and in all of His power and all of His glory. We need to see Him tonight as a God to be reverenced. A God to be worshipped. A God to be praised. And a God to be obeyed. We're not going to do anything for missions until we first of all see God as we ought to see Him. And the only way that we're going to be able to see Him like we ought to see Him is when we see Him from the heart. And then I believe we also need eyes that will see ourselves. To see ourselves. Isaiah saw himself and he cried out, "Oh God, woe is me!" He saw himself eating his morsel alone. How long has it been since we really took a good look at ourselves? We live in our plush houses. We get in our plush cars. And we come to our plush church. And we fellowship with our people in our plush clothing. We went in the mountains, up the river, into those Indian tribes, slept in the mud houses, slept in the bamboo houses with thatched roofs. We slept in their beds, nice, comfortable, plush, hardwood floor. We went up the Amazon River, went 4 hours from Yurimaguas up to an Indian village up the Amazon River, and we was to preach there that night. And we landed there on shore. Never thought I was going to get there. It was dark, pitch dark, black. 12 of us in a boat. And wasn't one with a big tarp on top of it. And
safety, what do you call them? Jackets, life preservers. We was on shore there, and Brenda said, "Where's the life jackets?" I says, "Hon, we don't have any." It took us 4 hours to get up that river, and that boat was right down in the water all the way. I mean, just you could feel the water splashing on you. But we went up that river. 4 hours up that river, landed. And it was dark when we got there, and they had one of the Indian boys up there on the front of the boat and had a flashlight, and he'd hold his hand up like this, and he'd go across this way, or he'd go up across this way, and he was giving the fellow that was driving the boat directions how to get into where we were going. And then finally we saw a little light about that big on shore. We thought there was just one fellow there. And we landed, and there was about 100 Indians standing there on shore waiting for us to start service. They helped us out of the boat, grabbed all of our things that we had with us, ushered us up to where we were preaching. You'd have thought I was the President of the United States. And they ushered us right up to the church building. Our first, we went next door to the church building, to one of the houses on the front porch, and we dropped all of our stuff off, and I grabbed my Bible, and they were ready. They were ready to listen to some preaching. Amen. They was ready to hear a white man preach. Amen. A white man had never preached in that tribe before. And we went into the building, and they had their plush seats. Didn't have backs to them. Just had benches. And that building was packed out. And they started singing. And I looked back at Brenda. And I looked at her, and she just couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it. It was an experience of a lifetime. But they didn't have these plush pews. They didn't have a plush building. But oh, how they loved the Lord. And they exalted the Lord in their singing. And I got up there to preach. And there was a lantern hanging over me. Bugs flying all over. And I hadn't had supper yet, but by the time I got through preaching, I had a diet of bugs. But we preached. They didn't have all the modern conveniences that we have. But you know what? They were getting the job done. They were honoring the Lord. They were exalting the Lord. They were lifting Him up. They were bringing honor and glory unto the Lord in His church. And it was dark when we got there. We couldn't see what was all in the tribe there. We went ahead and preached. I'm going to tell you a lot of experience I had. The Lord didn't send me over there for nothing. We had supper afterwards, and they serve you first. And they give you the very best that they have. The very best. Fish. We landed in Yurimaguas and went just at lunchtime. And the lady fixed our lunch, brought our soup to us. And they bring it to you, and then they stand back and watch you eat it. And she brought this bowl of soup. And it had little green stuff in it, you know, sprinkled in it. And it had a fish, boiled fish. Fish about that long. Head on it about that big. And boiled eyes about that big. And they were staring right at us. And I looked over at Brenda. And Brenda looked over at me as if to say, You go ahead and take the lead. So I very carefully started pulling the fish apart, and I started up toward the meaty part up by the head. Sort of covered it up, you know, and started. And I started eating the meaty part of it, and then the rest of it I sort of spread it out, you know, all over. You know, y'all have done that before, haven't you? Now, don't watch the preacher next time he comes to your house for dinner. But we went ahead and did the best that we could. But they gave us the very best that they had. But you know, we have got it made. And the preacher will get up and he'll preach on missions, and immediately we'll say, "Honey, we can't give $50 to missions. We can't give $100 to missions. We can't give $30 to missions. Because we've got to pay our $700 house payment this week. And next week we've got to pay our $450 car payment. And the next week we've got to pay our credit card payments. And the fourth week we've got my car payment." That's exactly the way it is, brothers and sisters. Amen. Oh me. Oh my. That's exactly where we're at in America. That's exactly where we're at in Wauseon. That's exactly where you're at Flint. That's exactly where you're at Detroit. We've run out of weeks. What's going to go undone? I'll tell you exactly what's going to go undone. Missions is going to go undone. The devil got the victory again. The devil is out to get you so far in debt that there's no way that you can give anything to missions. There's no way that if your pastor has a special need, there is no way that you can supply it. And that's exactly what the shape that he wants his churches to get in. We are eating our morsel alone. We're concerned about ourselves. Boy, I'll tell you, if you ever get an opportunity to go to Brazil, to Peru, go. Please go. Send brother and sister Titus. They'd never be the same. They would thoroughly enjoy it. First 4 days, Brenda and I both were in a culture shock. I was ready to come home at 4 days. I asked brother Raul, I said, "Is there a plane that's coming in Saturday?" And by Saturday, Brenda was ready to go. We had another week. But most of us tonight are guilty of eating our morsel alone, while a world is starving for the bread of life. People in those mountains and up the Amazon River, they are starving for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's lost souls. As we went over that mountain, we went 6 hours over the mountain from Tarapoto, Peru, over into Yurimaguas, Peru. Took us 6 hours to get over that mountain, then 4 hours up the Amazon River. And as I went over that mountain, we would see different villages, small villages, one here and one there, and we'd see a path that would go off this direction and off that direction. And I looked at Brother Bergman, and I said, "Brother Bergman, have you ever been up that path?
Has there ever been a missionary up that path? No, Brother Jones, there never has been. How about this path over here? How about this village here? Have you ever stopped to preach there? No, Brother Jones, just him. And Tarapoto, from Tarapoto to Yurimaguas, 6 hours by van. And we would see those villages. And I would say, have you stopped here? Have you preached here? And if we'd go up that Amazon River, we would see a tribe here and a tribe there. And I'd say, have you preached there? Have you had any mission points there? No, Brother Jones. People that need the bread of life, that need Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And here we sit, eating our morsel alone. I came back from Peru, and I suggested this to my church. I said, just believe me. I've never lied to you. Just believe me. I've never lied to you all, have I? I've been true to you. I've told you all the truth. And just believe me. The need is great. There in Peru where I went, they need help. The work is great. I told my people, I said, you all usually go out to eat at least once a week. I said, we're going to take up a Peruvian offering the third Sunday of every month. And I said, the money that it would cost you to take your family out to eat and not to McDonald's, that it would cost you to go to a restaurant and eat a supper, whether it would be $20, whether it would be $30, whether it would be $40, use that week and give it to missions. What you would spend for that meal, give it to missions. And we took up that first offering. It was $600 and some. The next offering we took up, the last month offering, it was $700 and some. I believe the worst poverty that I saw in Peru was people in those jungles and up those rivers and in those mountains who have never heard the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's poverty. That's poverty. And we sit here and we're worried about whether we're going to have enough money for our retirement. We'll sock every penny we can away into the bank. Because what we're doing is we're eating our morsel alone. Say, well, Brother Jones, did you see any other poverty? Yes, I saw other poverty. We went to a restaurant there in Tarapoto to eat one Friday night. Had a nice little restaurant there, had barbecue chicken. Went in there and had supper. Here come a couple boys come in, teenage boys, very skinny, and was begging for food. The owner said, Get outdoors. Get outdoors. But he asked very seriously, looked up at the owner and said, can we have the scraps? That owner went back there, got a sack, put the scraps in it, told him to go outside, followed him outside. We finished our meal, walked outside. There sat those two boys leaning up against the building, going through that scrap as fast as they could eat it. And I sat in that van and I wept. And we'll sit here Honey, you got to get a job. I got to get another part-time job. We've got to have at least 3 or 4 incomes. Yes, poverty. Brother Dempsey come over to our church last week. He was telling about a family lived next door. A young lady had a baby, young boy. Came over one morning, woke Dempsey up, and said, Dempsey, said, my little boy had to go to bed hungry last night. Do you have any food? Dempsey looked at her, pointed his finger at her, said, don't you ever let that happen again. Don't you ever send that baby to bed without anything to eat. You say, Brother Jones, you mean they don't have anything to eat? Can you all live on $3 a day? Can you all live on $5 a day? Can you live on $7 a day? That's the average income if it's that high. They go to market. They'll take what they got to sell, whether it's a bunch of fruit, a bunch of vegetables, or chickens, or whatever they got. And they'll sell it. Then they'll turn around, and they got to buy food to take back home for their family. And that's just a trade. They'll go home and fix that, eat it, come back for supper. They have 2 meals a day. They'll come back for supper at the market, do the very same thing, day after day after day after day. You kids, listen to me. You can go to your cupboards. You can open up your cupboard doors. You can look in there and see at least 3 or 4 boxes of cereal. And those little kids don't know what a box of cereal looks like. Yes, I believe we're guilty of eating our morsel alone. For the first time in my ministry, I really saw with my heart. When I saw those Peruvian preachers sacrifice their means to reach those people in the jungles and up those rivers and in those mountains, I saw with my heart. And they give everything they have. Everything. They don't have a stitch of furniture in their house. I was in several houses, my wife and I, and in those houses, we never saw a stitch of furniture, maybe a bench to sit on, and a table to eat on. We was there up that river in the jungle, and in that one village there that we preached. They said, come on over here, Brother Jones and Sister Jones. We want to show you where you're going to sleep. He said, this family has given up their room for you all tonight. And I walked in the room. And there was a sponge mat on the floor about this thick. I stood there and just wept. And they got a mosquito net. And they tied up the 4 corners and tied them to the thatched roof. My wife and I got in there. My wife got in there first. And then I crawled in there. And I took my t-shirt off. Rolled it up in a ball. And that was my plush pillow. And I lay there. And I said, thank you, God, that I was born in the United States of America. And we laid there, and I laid there for hours, thanking God for everything that He had ever done for me that I could remember. And all of a sudden, we heard the thunder. Here we are, 4 hours away from civilization. And the river was about full. And I didn't know how much fuller it was going to get.
And I didn't know if they had a boat underneath our house we were sleeping in. And it started raining. Started thundering. I finally went to sleep. The thunder woke me up again. Raindrops dripping through that thatched roof. Onto that mosquito net. And into my face. And it woke my wife up. And then we were up for the day. I got my camera out the next morning. My wife was getting around and trying to comb her hair and everything. And I said, here, Sister Jones is getting ready to go to Bob Evans. And then we asked where the restroom was at. Took us over to the door and said, any tree out there? And then it's daylight by then. And we couldn't really see when we came in at night. And I have all of this, a lot of this on video. And I got my camera out and I just took pictures. But oh, how pitiful. But those people love the Lord and they believe what you and I believe. They are practicing what you and I are practicing. My heart just bubbled over with joy. But those Peruvian preachers, they give everything they've got to preach the gospel. And that preacher goes up that river to that village twice a month. It cost him about $30 every time he goes for gas. Gas is about $2 and something a gallon. He spends every penny, I mean every penny he's got goes into the work of the Lord. And all the time we were there, they gave us their best. I found out how little I really give of myself and of my means, of my money. Listen. It is the eyes of the heart that'll teach you to give. And if we're going to see others, we're going to have to see all of this tonight that we have just mentioned. We also need eyes to see our sin in our lives. Isaiah, in the same sixth chapter there, saw the people. He saw their sins. He heard their voices and realized their needs. He saw his own sins. And it was after his confession and his cleansing that he was in position to care for the needs of others. Our need is the same today. And then we also need hearts that hurts. There in the 14th chapter of Matthew, Jesus had compassion on them. Oh, how our hearts ought to hurt because of sin. Yes, we need a heart that hurts because of the sinner. A sinner that Jesus loves. A sinner that Jesus Christ died for. A sinner that he lives for and is longing to save and to seek and to give peace to. A sinner that's wandering in the world of darkness, unable to find his way because he's dead in trespasses and in sins. Listen, you don't have to go to Peru, South America to find people that need the Lord. Go to your next door neighbor. Talk to the person you work with. Go to your son's house. Go to your daughter's house.
Yes, our hearts ought to hurt because of sin. Sin, that terrible disease of the soul. It's carried multitudes, millions, out into a Christless eternity. It's plagued us all of our lives. It's caused every heartache, every sob, every bit of suffering, every death that man has experienced has been because of sin. We see the reminder of sin everywhere. We see a hearse. We look at a cemetery. We see a hospital. We see policemen. Sin. Yes, Jesus died for sinners. He loved us so much that He gave Himself for us. Are you saved tonight? Are you really? Are you really saved? Do you really realize in your own heart that Jesus Christ died personally for you? Have you truly trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior tonight? Or are you faking it? Listen. Listen to me. Oh, please listen to me. It's not worth it to fake it. You're not saved tonight. Trust Jesus Christ tonight as your Savior. He'll save your soul. Repent of your sins. Put your faith and trust in Him as your personal Savior. He'll save you. He'll save you right now, right where you're at. Bible says, with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. You say, oh, yes, Brother Jones, I'm saved. I love the Lord Jesus Christ. Will you do the very first thing tonight He told you to do? And that's follow Him in baptism. You say, oh, yes, Brother Jones, I love the Lord so much. Oh, I realize that He went to that cross and He bled and He suffered and He died there on the cross of Calvary and He was buried for my justification and raised for my justification. Yes, I believe that with all my heart, Brother Jones, but you're not willing to do what God would have you to do tonight. Oh, I pray right now, God, oh, that God would move in your heart and show you, yes, I love the Lord. And because I love the Lord, I want to step out tonight and I want to do anything that He wants me to do. I don't care what it is. Maybe you'd like to come tonight and say, yes, Brother Titus, I know that I'm saved. I know that Jesus Christ died for me. And I'm tired of fighting this. And I want to commit my life to Jesus tonight. Say, wait a minute, Brother Jones, you sound like Billy Graham. No, I'm not. I'll tell you what, we Baptists are scared to death of commitment. That's one of our problems today, is we're afraid to commit ourselves. And maybe for the first time in your life tonight, you say, yes, I want to commit my life to Jesus Christ. I want to surrender my whole life. Brother Titus, I don't care what it takes. Whatever I need to